This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity اليوم إن شاء الله نحكي عن معنى القوة في حياة المسلم. So today inshallah we'll talk about the meaning of a strong Muslim in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الحديث الصحيح في صحيح مسلم الذي رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير استعن بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو كان كذا لكان كذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in an authentic hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says A strong believer, a strong Muslim is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a weak believer. Do what is beneficial for you and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't lose hope. If something bad happens to you, don't say if I did this and this, this would have happened. but say, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. And the Prophet ﷺ says, because the word if opens the door for the whispering of the shaitan. بعض الناس يعتقد انه كلمة المؤمن القوي مقصود بها المؤمن القوي جسديا. ولكن هذا ليس صحيح. فكلمة القوة في الحديث هي كلمة عامة تشمل جميع انواع القوة. فتشمل القوة الجسدية والقوة الإيمانية والروحية والقوة الاقتصادية والمالية. القوة الاجتماعية والقوة السياسية, كل أنواع القوة مقصودة في الحديث. So some people, they limit the meaning of the word power or strength in this hadith to the physical power. But this is not true. The word of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith is very general, and it includes physical power, it includes spiritual power, it includes financial power, social power, political power. So it talks about all these powers in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. القوة الإيمانية مقصود بها طبعا أن الإنسان على سبيل المثال يكون صبورا في المصائب, يصبر على العبادة, يتحمل الأذى, يكظم غيظه. كل هذه معاني القوة الإيمانية. So the spiritual power, for example, or strength, talks about patience in doing acts of worship. This is the real strength. If you wake up at Fajr to pray, this is strength. If you are patient at the time of difficulty, the loss of a beloved one, this is the real strength. If people make you mad and you still control your anger, this is strength. And these are not my words. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, الذي رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, والحديث في البخاري ومسلم. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ليس الشديد بالصرعة ولكن الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the strong among you is not the one who knocks people down. The strong among you is the one who controls himself at the time of extreme anger. Sometimes you feel like you want to snap on someone, give them a black eye or break their neck. But still you control yourself. And it happens every day. This is the real strength, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says. المعنى الآخر هو القوة الجسدية. طبعا مطلوب من المسلم أنه يكون يعني قوي جسديا حتى يقوم بالعبادات على الوجه الأكمل. الإنسان لما يمارس الرياضة ويكون قويا ونشيطا يستطيع أن يصلي ويقف في التراويح ويسافر وكذا, هذا طبعا مطلوب. So physical strength is also required in Islam. How can you pray? How can you go for Hajj? Or how can you come to Tarawih or make i'tikaf or fast in Ramadan if you are physically weak? You will not be able to do it in the proper way if you are weak. So physical strength is also intended in the hadith. المعنى الآخر للقوة هو القوة المالية. القوة المالية. لو نظرت إلى العشر المبشرين بالجنة, بعض الناس يقول لك أن المسلم المفروض يبعد عن المال وكذا ويكون فقيرا ومعدما, ويشيرون إلى بعض الأحاديث وكذا, ولكن هذا ليس المعنى المقصود من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإنسان الفقير كيف يخدم المجتمع الإسلامي؟ يعني لو كان كل المسلمين فقراء معدمون, من الذي ينفق على المستشفيات والمدارس والمساجد وكذا؟ طبعا سيكون في ضعف في المجتمع الإسلامي. لو نظرت إلى العشر المبشرين بالجنة في أيام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, معظمهم من الأغنياء. أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه كان مليونيرا. عثمان بن عفان كان مليونيرا رضي الله عنه. سعد بن أبي وقاص كان مليونيرا. عبد الرحمن بن عوف, كلهم من المبشرين بالجنة, كان مليونيرا. طلحة بن عبيد الله كان مليونيرا. خذ على سبيل المثال عبد الرحمن بن عوف لما هاجر إلى المدينة كان فقيرا لأنه ترك أمواله في مكة. فعرض عليه سعد بن الربيع أن يقتسم معه أمواله لما آخى بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين عبد الرحمن بن عوف. عرض عليه أن يقسم أمواله وأن يطلق إحدى زوجتيه ويزوجه إياها. فقال له عبد الرحمن بن عوف, بارك الله لك في أهلك وفي مالك, دلني على السوق. فيقولون في الرواية أنه كثرت أمواله وبارك الله سبحانه وتعالى له في ماله, حتى إنه لما مات عثمان بن عفان ترك 300 مليون و200 ألف درهم فضي. في خلال 10 سنوات من بداية يعني في بعد الهجرة صنع هذه الأموال بعد الهجرة. So the second meaning or the third meaning of strength in Islam is the financial and economic strength. Okay? Some people like to be poor because they will not stand for a long time for judgment on the day of judgment. Okay? But who is going to spend on masajid? Who is going to spend on schools? Who is going to help the poor and needy in the Muslim community if everyone is poor? And also, there is nothing wrong in Islam if you are a millionaire, as long as you give the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. If you just look at the 10 Sahaba, the 10 companions of the Prophet ﷺ who got the news of Jannah while they were living with the Prophet ﷺ, most of them were millionaires. Abu Bakr was a millionaire, radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan was a millionaire. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was a millionaire. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a millionaire. Talha ibn Ubaidillah was a millionaire. And all of them are from the Sahaba, the 10 who got the news of Jannah. When Uthman ibn Affan migrated from Mecca to Medina, he had zero in his pockets because he left all his money back in Mecca. And in a few years, when he died, they estimated the money he left behind. The number was 300 million and 200,000 dirham, silver coins. He was a millionaire in today's terms, so they were not poor. And this is the financial strength in Islam. في الحديث الذي رواه عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه والحديث في البخاري ومسلم يقول أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى ثم يقول عبد الله بن عمر اليد العليا هي اليد المنفقة واليد السفلى هي اليد السائلة فهذا يشرح القوى المالية في الإسلام. So Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said that the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the upper hand, which is the giving hand, the rich hand, is more beloved to Allah, is better in Islam than the low hand, the hand that is begging people for money. So this also gives you an idea about the financial strength in Islam. المعنى الآخر هو القوة الاجتماعية إن المسلمين يشاركوا في الحياة العامة ويكون لهم حضور تمام؟ So the next type of strength in Islam is the social strength. Muslims have to be visible in the community. We have to have doctors and engineers, nurses and physicians to represent the Muslim community. So Islam is not only what we do in the masajid on Friday or in the 5 daily prayers. Islam is what you do in the society. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam يقول الدين المعاملة, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith that Islam is your behavior, your interaction with the people. Whatever you do, salah, siyam, is something between you and Allah. But what matters is how you deal with the people, is how active and proactive and positive you are in the Muslim society. آخر معاني القوة التي نحكي عليها اليوم هو المشاركة السياسية والقوة السياسية. معروف أن المسلمين عاشوا في كندا على الأقل في آخر 200 سنة الماضية ومعروف أن المسلمين أو الإسلام هو الدين الثاني الأكبر في كندا أكبر من اليهودية والهندوسية والبوذية وكذا ومع ذلك فإن المسلمين مشاركتهم ضعيفة جدا في الحياة السياسية وكل يومين تشوف واحد سياسي يطلع يقول كلمتين بطلين على المسلمين لأنه عارف أنه ما فيش حد هيرد عليه المسلمين ليس لهم ثقل في الحياة السياسية. The last type of strength we talk about today is the political strength. Muslims have existed in Canada for the longest, since the founding of Canada. In the census that was done in 1871, they said that Muslims existed at that time in Canada. So we have existed here for the longest. There are more Muslims in Canada than Jews, Hindus, Buddhists put together. Islam is the second largest faith in Canada, but still we don't have any political participation, we don't have any political strength or weight in this country. Why? If you have fewer Hindus or Buddhists or Sikh or Jews in Canada, how come that all of them have more politicians in the country than Muslims? Why? Every time you see a politician on TV or over the radio criticizing or saying bad things about Muslims, keeping in their mind that Muslims have no political strength. They wouldn't care about Muslim votes in the elections because Muslims don't vote anyway in the elections. But if they know that Muslims vote, and if they know that the 1.5 million Muslims that live in Canada can vote, and they can not only bring people to the parliament, but they can bring prime ministers to office, then Muslims can make a difference in the politics in Canada if they are united. So we have to show them this strength. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا سأل الله بالفضل. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. بالأمس تكلم رئيس الوزراء الكندي ستيفن هاربر عن الخطر أشد خطر يهدد كندا وهو الإسلاميين. وطبعا إذا نظرت إلى الكلام اللي قاله هو الكلام ليس صحيحا لا على سبيل الأرقام ولا على سبيل التاريخ، هذا كلام فاضي تمام، ولكن هو يعلم كغيره من السياسيين أن المسلمين ليس لهم ثقل ولا حضور على الناحية السياسية، فهو لا يهتم بذلك. Last night, CBC they aired an interview with Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and he criticized what he called the he was talking about the biggest threat that threatens Canada recently, and he said that the largest and the biggest threat for Canada is Islamicism. And I don't know what is this word Islamicism. It doesn't even exist in dictionaries. They always attribute violence and terrorism to the word Islam, Islamic fundamentalism, Islamic terrorism, Islamic radicalism, but this is probably the first time for me to hear the word Islamicism, okay? And the good thing about Canada here is for someone like me to criticize something that the Prime Minister has said without the prospect or the fear of being kidnapped or tortured or killed or imprisoned. It's not like back home. Isn't that something good? So, if you look at the statements of the Prime Minister, you don't have to be a genius to realize that these words are not historically or statistically accurate. They are not. There are more social problems in this country, and there is terrorism by other groups, other than Muslims, that is more threatening than the what he called Islamicism in the country. There are more people, if you look at the past 10 years, or throughout the history of Canada, how many victims that were killed by Islamic terrorism or Islamicism in Canada? Zero. Not a single Canadian has been killed on Canadian soil by a Muslim terrorist. There's an article on Wikipedia, Terrorism in Canada. Go read it and see and read about the terrorist groups in Canada. They will talk about Cuban terrorism in Canada. They talk about terrorism by Quebec militants in Canada. They talk about Sikh militants in Canada. And as a matter of fact, the largest terrorist act in the history of Canada was done in 1985 by a Sikh militant group with Air India. About 330 people were killed. Most of them were Canadians. They were not killed by Muslims, by Sikh militants from India, and so on and so forth. So Muslims are not even there in the list. So attributing Islam to terrorism is not psychologically, is not historically, is not statistically accurate. الأمر الآخر إنه إذا نظرت إلى عدد القتلى أو الهجمات الإرهابية في تاريخ كندا لن تجد المسلمين لهم حضور ولا شخص واحد قتله الإرهابيين المسلمين في تاريخ كندا. ولكن في الإرهاب الكوبي موجود، الإرهاب السيخ موجود، الإرهاب من كوباك موجود، كل هذه العناصر الإرهابية موجود. أما المسلمين ليسوا موجودين أصلاً في القائمة. The other thing is, and I conclude with this, there are more social problems in Canada that kill more people than Islamic terrorism. And as I said, not a single Canadian has ever been killed in Canada by a Muslim terrorist. Not a single one. Go read the list. Go read the statistics. 600 people are killed in Canada every year, not by Muslim terrorists, but by Canadian citizens. يعني 600 شخص يموتون في كندا كل سنة يقتلهم كنديون آخرون. 1,000 people die on Canadian roads every year because of alcohol accidents, related accidents. Not Muslims don't sell alcohol in Canada, but these people, the Canadians, they drink and they get killed or kill somebody because they are drunk on the roads. And there are thousands of victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse in Canada, and Muslims have nothing to do with this. So what is he talking about? Muslims are not even in the list of crimes or domestic violence or terrorism in the list. What are you talking about? But some politicians, they use this as a propaganda technique to gain or to make some political gains. And they always do this in the US, in Canada, in Europe, and elsewhere. What I'm trying to say, if these people, the politicians, know that Muslims have political strength, they will think 1,000 times before they make a statement about Muslims. They can never say something like this about Sikhs, or Buddhists, or Jews, or anyone else in Canada, but Muslims are weak politically, so they can say whatever they want. There is an election coming up on the 13th of this month, the 13th of September, to choose the premier of Alberta. We want Muslims to go and to vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for. What matters is you are visible in the elections and you choose the right person to represent Muslims in this country. Someone to fight for the political, the social, and economic rights of Muslims in this country. Someone to fight against stereotypes or criticizing Muslims or with no proof in this country. Someone to fight to introduce Islamic topic in the social studies in the schools in this country. Someone to help introduce the Arabic language in the curriculum in the Canadian schools. Someone to help the Muslim immigration from Muslim countries, and so on and so forth. So these are the gains we can get for ourselves and for our children. Don't live in a cocoon and say that people will fight for me. No one will fight for you unless you fight for yourself. This is a historical fact. You don't question this one. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. واغفر لهم المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأخذ الصلاة.